The Bible says bitterness rots the bones. Bitterness is like a cancer. It begins to spread. Confusion will either send you towards your knees in prayer, or it will send you into a place of hatred. And you start looking for someone to blame. The devil, more than anything, wants to divide and conquer. If he can get Christians fighting with each other, then we stop fighting the real war. You're here on purpose. God's not finished with you yet. Your best days are right in front of you, and you have victory in your life because Jesus lives in you.
I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen metal plates dissolve. So don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I'll see families reunited. I see prodigals.
Number two, confront your emotions and feelings. Now, this one might get personal for some of us in the room. Your feelings aren't always right. Just because you feel it doesn't mean it's the right thing. The world says, follow your heart. Your heart will lead you in the right place. Just follow your heart. All heart, baby. Except for when your heart's wrong. Hold up, Paul. God gave me this heart. That's right. He did. And it's wrapped in flesh, and it doesn't always feel the right feelings or have the right emotions. Jeremiah the prophet in 17 verse 9, Jeremiah, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Desperately sick. Look at that. Who can understand the heart of man? It's in a desperate, and you go, well, that's Old Testament, Paul. The New Testament says, I've been born again. I got a new mind. You're right. But you're still wrapped in flesh. This is why Paul the Apostle, even after he got saved, he talks about how he wrestles. He goes, there's things that I don't want to do, but I do them, and I shouldn't do them, and I know I shouldn't do them, but it's my flesh fighting against my spirit. It's my heart of flesh fighting against the heart that's been renewed by God. It's all together. You're connected. Until you get to heaven, there's a battle. Billy Graham said, even in my old age, I feel the temptations of the flesh. After being saved for 80 years, right? Like, there is no believer out there that's too sanctified to not have a fleshly heart. Every believer out there, every holy person you know out there that pretends to look holy in church as well, everybody has fleshly temptation. They get angry, we get impatient, we get frustrated, we become assumptive about people, suspicious, and we've got to guard our heart and go, hold up. If this isn't from God, I don't need to be feeling these feelings. I need to check my feelings. Proverbs 28 verse 26 says, whoever trusts in their own heart is foolish. But whoever gets wisdom will be delivered from confusion. If I get wisdom, I can be delivered from my own heart. You know who I need to get free from? Me. You know who you need to get free from? You. You're like, there's a lot of haters out there. Yeah, but you're your biggest enemy. A lot of people trying to block my dreams, but you're your biggest blocker. Because oftentimes it's not the voices out there, it's the voices in here. It's the voices in here that I've been listening to. It's the ego voices. It's the prideful voice. It's the entitlement voices. It's the highly aggressive, bitter, resentful voices going on in here that I need to check at the door and go, hold up. I'm not always 100% right. No matter how saved I've been or how right I, no matter how much schooling I've had, I can easily be wrong on a regular basis. And my wife knows it. She's like, amen, honey, keep preaching that. Okay, so we need to check our hearts at the door. Number three, confront who or what externally could be adding confusion. Is there a friend in your life that's whispering lies in your ear, flattering you to your face, but ultimately does not have the right intentions for your future? There's a lot of flattering voices going on in 2022. A lot of fake friends out there. Thank God for the people who will look at you and say the same thing to your face that they would say to you behind your back. They're gonna speak truth in love. They're gonna love you even when you're not around. Pay attention. Genesis 3 verse 1 says the serpent was more cunning than all the animals in the garden. So the serpent was really deceptively smart. This is the devil. He's a serpent. And it says he went into the garden, this serpent, and began to lie to Eve. Did God really say that you can't have this forbidden fruit? Did God, this is where confusion begins, is questioning what God said. Questioning, did God really say, does God know what's best for your life? You should know what's best. If it feels good, if the apple tastes good, if your body craves it, you should go for it. If your brain thinks it, you should just say it. This is where we get in trouble. People are making surgical decisions at 8 years old for their body, and they don't know what's best for their future because they feel like a girl in one moment and a boy in the next moment. And it's not helping society when we aid into this narrative that we can decide what's best for everything in our life. We aren't the best decision makers for our lives. I'm talking to me too. I'm preaching to Paul. I'm not coming at you, I'm coming at me. And if you're angry at this, email the Bible. If you don't want to be in a Bible-believing church, you came to the wrong place. We just trust in the Word of God. We're not buying the baloney that's going on in our nation right now, deconstructing Scripture. Psalms 119 says, the Lord will direct you in the path of His commandments. Lord, direct me in the path of your word. I want to find delight in your word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. How can a young man keep his life pure? By abiding in the word of God. In the way, who or what is adding to the confusion? Is there a movie or a show? I remember one time I was reading this book, and it was interesting at first. It was a business book. It was really interesting. It was all about like succeeding. And I had studied business in college as a minor, and so I was interested in this book. But then it never mentioned Jesus, never mentioned the Bible. And it began introducing principles, and I wasn't against it. I was like, I can learn from this. But then it began questioning things that I had been taught from the Word of God. Things that the Word of God had taught me through my parents, passing on, you know, just character values, ethic values found in the Word of God. It began questioning that and convincing me that there's a new way to do life and business and succeed. And I had to put that book down and go, hold on. Something's not right about this book. This book is not leading me in a stronger relationship with Jesus. Y'all, you can try to be successful without God, and you might make money, but you might lose value and purpose in your life. I don't want to be a money-making success. I want to be a success in the kingdom of God, which may mean that I don't have any money, but listen, I've got value, purpose, significance found in the will and the ways of God. And when I'm 90, I won't have to live with regret about the last 80 years of my life doing it my way or doing it some businessman's way. I want to do it. What does Jesus want? What does Jesus want from me? And none of us are perfect. We've all missed it. We've all fallen short, but you can get back on the right path to come back to God. I've been there where I just go, God, I am sorry. I was following my foolish feelings in that moment, and I'm coming back to the Word of God. I'm coming back to the way of God. Is there something or someone that's adding to the confusion, that's getting you distracted from the Word of God? Number four, stop and ask for help from the right people. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I got a hard time asking for help. I was putting together something for the kids recently, and Ashley walked outside. She said, do you need help? I go, no, I got this. I'm the man. She was like, okay, did you read the directions? I was like, directions? And you just need a screwdriver, some screws here, and just, you know, it all makes sense. And she's like, please read the directions. I love you, honey, but just read those directions. They're good for you. And so I'm, you know, okay, I'm skimming through them. Hey, I got this. 2 hours later, she's like, you need help? I was like, yeah, I need to. Let's practice to get this together. Say, I need some help. I don't know why that's hard for us to say, but this is why so many of us stay in a confused state, is we don't ask for help. We don't ask for help from the right people. There's some new philosophy out there that's convincing people we can do this without Jesus, and we can't. We can't. We need Jesus more than ever. We need the covering of God. We need the elders like Grand and Mom who can speak to us in the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our outrage, and say, hey, calm down. There's a better way to react right now. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says this, the way of fools seems right in their own eyes, but the wise man, the wise woman listens to advice. Proverbs 15, verse 22 says, plans fail. Putting toys for your kids together fails without directions or advice from your wife or advisors. And I would say the same thing goes for big decisions in our life. Are you making a big decision without gaining counsel from the right voices? And you go, well, yeah, I've asked the right voices. I asked my buddies. Okay. There was this king in Israel named Rehoboam in 1 Kings 12. He was chosen to be the king of Israel. He was anointed. And listen, God anoints leaders to be kings at any age. It's not about the age that makes a leader great. Josiah was a great leader for Israel when he was 8 years old. And so it's not about the age. It's not even about the background. Here's the question. Is that king surrendered to the counsel of God? Y'all, we're about to go into a season of decisions for who's going to be leading our city, our state, our nation. And we need to ask this question. Who is leaning the most into the counsel of God? Are we voting for people that are leaning into the counsel of God? And does it align? Who's aligning the closest with God's heartbeat for our world right now? And that's questions we need to ask. Well, this king, Rehoboam, he starts consulting. I want the band to come up. He starts consulting his buddies, the same age as him. He starts saying, hey, how would you lead the nation? These guys are in their 20s. They've never been a king ever in their life. They've never been in a place of advising the king. They grew up with Rehoboam. He was the son of a king, but none of them have actually ever stood in the place of counseling a king. Well, his father's elders that were 30 years older than Rehoboam, they start trying to tell Rehoboam, hey, here's what you need to do. You're not always going to like our advice, but here's how we're trying to help you. By the way, just because someone says something you don't like to hear doesn't mean they're against you. They might be more for you than the people who are flattering you to your face. So Rehoboam dismisses the elders who are trying to speak truth to him, and he leans into the counsel of his buddies. Now, I love my friends that are my same age. I'm thankful for them. I've got a great friend, Daniel Henshaw, great friend in my life. We're the same age, grew up together. But if I sat with Daniel and said, hey, how would you raise 5 kids? He's never raised 5 kids. No offense, but that's the wrong question to ask someone who's never done it before. If I asked Daniel, hey, Daniel, how would you lead Victory Church? He's never been the senior pastor of Victory Church. So I need to ask people like my mom, Sharon Darty. I need to ask people like Gran-Gran, who raised 3 boys and then raised grandkids, and now she's a great-grandma. I need to ask, this is why I'm spending time with my elders, Pastor Larry Stockstill, John Bevere. There was a moment where I called John Bevere. I said, hey, how do I raise these kids in this world, in this age right now? And he said, Paul, I'm so glad you called me. He said, you know, I raised 5 kids. I'm like, I know, that's why I'm asking you. And he's like, it was hard. Lisa threw plates at me in the kitchen. We broke, you know, I'm so thankful for honest counselors that don't pretend like they've never had a storm in their marriage or never had a fight in their house. And he goes, let me tell you, Paul, you're asking the right person. My dad used to say, consider the source. Who's counseling you on the decision you're about to make? Is it someone who's ever walked the path you're walking? Are they 20 years down the road from you? Or are they in the same season as you? Ask someone who's been there before. And so he said, thanks for asking. I said, so what would you do? And he's like, what I wouldn't do is go on Instagram and Facebook and ask a bunch of strangers to weigh in on how to lead my marriage and my family and the church. Because there's a lot of voices who want to tell you what to do, but they've never walked a day in your shoes. They've never seen success with the advice they're about to give you. And yet they're about to tell you what to do. I'm going to go live on Insta and ask everybody, how should I do this? Wrong place. He said, find 3 or 4 trusted fathers in the faith and sit in a place of humility and say, I need counsel. And there you will begin to find wisdom. The starting point of wisdom is the fear of God. To say, God, I need you. Lord, I need the fathers of faith. Here's what the devil's done in 2022. He's created a wedge between sons and fathers in the church. He's created a wedge between daughters and fathers so that you got church hurt. And then the enemy uses voices to placate this victim mentality to go, I am so hurt at the church. I'm hurt at people. But then what happens is we run thinking, if I leave the place I've been hurt, I'm going to find freedom from confusion. And yet we walk into greater confusion by isolating ourselves from the very place that God wants to bring healing. The very place where God wants to bring wisdom is found in a community of broken believers, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters who don't assume or act like we're perfect, but we are leaning into a perfect Father in heaven, and we are learning to walk together and grow together and restore and reconcile and build the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Ask the right sources. And number 5, here's my final point right here. Come under God's authority. You can't get over what God wants to put over you until you come under what God wants to put over you. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourself to God. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, most people quote the second half of the verse. Resist the devil and he's got to flee. He won't flee unless you're submitted. You can't resist the devil if you're not submitted to God. Now, the word submit is kind of a scary word in 2022 to use. I might get canceled for saying it because people are like, submission, that's an abusive term. I'm not submitting to some narcissistic, abusive, toxic situation. I'm not saying submitting to bad stuff.
I'm saying submitting to the word of God. This is not narcissistic. This is not toxic. This is for your good. This is for my good. Come back to truth. Come out of confusion, my friends. And go, Paul, how can I trust that book? How can I trust that book? There's a lot of broken people in this book from Genesis to Revelation. But I'll tell you someone who's not broken. God. Jesus. You can trust him. You could trust Jesus. Right now, the enemy is stirring up this deconstructing confusion mentality to go, I'm just walking away from scripture and I just want to define my own way of life and theology. Y'all, we got to come back to the word of God. There is confusion out there, left and right. But when we come under the covering, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That when I come under the covering of God and say, Lord, I need you. What does God's word say? Jesus says, when you pray, start like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will, not my will, but thy will. What is the will of God? That you forgive those who've hurt you. How many times do I have to forgive them? 3 times? 4 times? Peter asked, 7 times? Jesus says, 70 times 7. So if I'm submitted to the word of God, I've got to walk in forgiveness. It's hell in the hallway until you start forgiving people. You want to come out of confusion? Start forgiving people. Start praying God's will. Start praying for heaven to invade earth. Start praying, Lord, reveal what you need to reveal and heal what you need to heal and speak to me in a way that's unmistakably clear that it's you. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says this, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own logic. Lean not to your own understanding. But Paul, I've understood a lot. I'm learning a lot. It's 2022, Paul. We got to come into this new revelation. No, we got to get back to the old revelation because that's where the truth is found. There's some new philosophy out there that's convincing people we can do this without Jesus, and we can't. We can't. We need Jesus more than ever. We need his presence. We need his power. We need his word. We need his people. We need the covering of God. We need the elders like Grand and Mom, and we need people who've walked this path longer than us. Who can speak to us in the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our outrage, and say, hey, 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 calm down. There's a better way to react right now. There's a better way to walk this out. So Proverbs says, trust in the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge, submit to him, verse 6, and he will make your path straight. Would you stand your feet all over this place? I asked this man if I could share this story, and so I'm going to end it with this story. Yesterday, I was eating egg rolls at Thai Village. Y'all weren't ready for that transition right there. But I was sitting at Thai Village restaurant, had some egg rolls, had my Bible, my laptop. I was finishing my sermon. I'm sitting there. I'm locked in. Someone shouting across the restaurant. No one really, I didn't think anyone was there, but someone shouting. I didn't hear what they were saying. Finally, someone from Thai Village walks over and taps my shoulder. They're like, hey, he's shouting at you. So I look over and he's like, Doherty. I go, yeah. Victory. I go, yeah. Pastor. Yeah. And he goes, oh. So I get up from my table. It's like, hey, are we good? I'm like, no. I was like, I'm Paul. And he goes, I know your name. I go, okay. So I was like, what's your name? And he goes, that's the reason I left your church. You forgot my name. And I go, man, I'm so sorry. He said, you met me like 3 times. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm trying to memorize my own kids' names. Like, it's just a lot of names to memorize. Just a lot of people. I'm really trying. And he goes, whoa, just chill. He's like, you're good. I was like, really? Because I am. I wanna get better. My dad was so good at memorizing names. I'm trying my best, man. Like, just give me a shot. He's like, okay, calm down. He's like getting emotional because I'm getting emotional and I'm sincere. Like, I just want to be a good pastor. I'm trying my best. I said, I'm sorry I let you down. He said, I forgive you. I can tell you mean it. I said, will you come back to church? Have you found a new church? He's like, no, I've been looking. I was like, well, come back to Victory. He's like, why? I said, well, we got this figured out. Let's go now. He's like, we'll see. And so we kind of ended it. It just kind of ended. The conversation ended. I didn't know if he would come. Well, he came to church last night. And at the end of the sermon, came down to the altar, gave me 2 candles from his candle business. Lord, bless this man's candle business in Jesus' name. But he said, he goes, did you preach that sermon just to me? I said, no, I was working on this sermon before I even, you know, connected with you for the third time. And he said, he goes, that message was tailor-made for me. He's like, God was speaking directly to me, coming out of confusion. I said, praise God, man. Gave him a big hug. We took a picture together. I said, can I share your story? He said, yes. I don't know who I'm preaching to right now, but the enemy has been messing with you. And it's time to come out of confusion. Friends, we're praying for you. I pray that message encouraged you. I pray that it reminded you that God is not finished with you yet, that your best days are still in front of you. If you'll look to Jesus, if you'll turn your eyes to Him, if you'll lean into the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the Word of God, it can totally change your life. It can change everything on the inside of you. And when the inside changes, everything on the outside gets better. Today, why don't you start by praying a prayer? Just putting your faith, releasing your trust, control to God to say, Lord, I want you to lead my life. I don't want to try to control my life. I want to hand the control over to you. Just say this with me. Jesus, I surrender. Not my will, but your will be done in my life. Lord, I need you. God, I'm counting on you. I'm trusting in you. And I believe my best days are still in front of me because you live inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible teaches us that when we put our faith in Him, His presence literally fills our soul, that we know He lives within us, His Word, His will, His way, His Holy Spirit. Though we can't see it, and though sometimes you may not even feel it, you don't have to be alone. You can know that God is with you in the valleys and on the mountaintops. So we're praying for you right now. Want you to know that you're not alone. You got a church family here in Tulsa, Oklahoma that has your back. If you ever need a place to go, come to Victory. If you're not in a church, come and join us for a service on a Wednesday night, a Saturday night, or a Sunday morning. We'd love to make you feel right at home right here. There's something for all ages. And never forget, your best days are right in front of you.
You can listen to Pastor Paul's message and experience Victory anytime through our mobile Victory app in the App Store. When you have the app, you can listen to Victory every day. Go online from your computer or phone right now to download it. Victory app is available in the App Store.
This program is made possible by the generous donations of our television partners and friends.